is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, and you can enjoy the various features we have there free. The website is on the house. You can enjoy it over at freetalklive.com. Get interactive with other listeners in various different ways, including actually creating the content of the main site. You look there at freetalklive.com. You see the different items that have been posted up there. You can vote on whether you like them or dislike them. You can submit your own. It's all been created by listeners like you. Go to freetalklive.com and get interactive. This is a bizarre story we're going to talk about here in a moment, but first to your phone calls about a city in China that essentially is almost completely unpopulated. It's brand new.
It's beautiful.
It's basically a brand new ghost city. It's crazy. It's like a monument to the failure of central planning and malinvestment. But first, let's go to Matthew in California. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Matthew. Matthew in California. In Matthew going once. Matthew in California going twice. Now, maybe Matthew will try us back. 800-259-9231. Wayne, you're pretty economically aware guy, and I figured that you would be really interested in this one. I was actually surprised you hadn't heard of this, because you're connected. But over at the New York Times, David Barboza reports about a place called Ordos in China. By many measures, this resource-rich city in northern China is a fabulous success. It has huge reserves of coal and natural gas, a fast-growing economy, and a property market so hot that virtually every house put up for sale is immediately snapped up. There's just one thing largely missing in the city's extravagant new central district. People. Ordos proper has 1.5 million residents, but the Tomorrowland version of Ordos, built from scratch on a huge plot of empty land 15 miles south of the old city, so 15 miles south of where the 1.5 million people live, is all but deserted. Broad boulevards are unimpeded by traffic in the new district called Kanbashi New Area. Office buildings stand vacant. Pedestrians are in short supply, and weeds are beginning to sprout in luxury villa developments that are devoid of residents. It's pretty lonely here, says a woman named Lili, the marketing manager of an elegant restaurant in Kangbashi's mostly vacant Lido Hotel. She says, mostly the people who come to our restaurant are government officials and their guests. There aren't any common residents around here. City leaders, cheered on by aggressive developers, had hoped to turn Ordos into a Chinese version of Dubai, transforming vast plots of the arid Mongolian steppe into a thriving metropolis. They even invested more than $1 billion in their visionary project. I presume that means the city took taxpayer money, $1 billion of it, and put it at least $1 billion into
this. This will be a great idea.
But 4 years after, let's build a new version of our city. 15 miles away from the existing version, put up a whole bunch of city stuff like hotels and housing, and maybe it'll work. It's not like it's our money that we're throwing around.
Yeah. It's just bizarre.
But 4 years after, the city government... But there's more to it than just that. It's not the government that just, you know, put money into this. It's these developers as well, who are really, you know, apparently are just sitting on too much cash because of the economic boom that I guess is happening over there. And as they were pointing out, all of the coal and natural gas that's in the area, these people just had a whole bunch of money and a really bad idea, apparently. And that is to just create something that is tremendously huge and expect people to just fill into it. It's not happening. It didn't grow naturally.
They should just pass a law to make people move there.
Don't give them ideas. City leaders had hoped to turn it into a Dubai, as I was saying, and 4 years after, the city government was transplanted to Kanbashi, and with tens of thousands of houses and dozens of office buildings completed, the 12-square-mile area has been derided in the state-run newspaper China Daily as a ghost town, a monument to excess and misplaced optimism. As China's roaring economy fuels a wild construction boom, critics cite places like Kanbashi as proof of a speculative real estate bubble they warn will eventually pop, sending shockwaves through the banking system of a country that...
Real estate bubbles never pop. These people in there...
Real estate's a good investment.
Yeah.
It always goes...
That's what they thought. That's what they thought in Ordos here.
That's what they thought in Florida in 2004.
So they thought that they think that this is, you know, this may pop, and that for the past 2 years the country's been in the prime engine of global growth. For just Tuesday, China surprised analysts by raising its benchmark one-year lending rate for the first time in nearly 3 years, apparently to dampen speculation in the property market. The move sent jitters through world financial markets and stocks tumbling on fears that China will slow as the primary engine of the global recovery. And indeed, China has really been experiencing some amazing growth over the past, couple decades, pretty much? Is that right?
Especially the last decade. But they still have a lot more going for them because they don't have all the debt that we have. They're printing money, yes, they are centrally planned, but they still have an engine for growth that we don't have anymore.
China, the analysts doubt the small increase in lending rates will slow the building bonanza that's reaching even remote regions like this one. Kangbashi was projected to have 300,000 residents by now, and the government claims that 28,000 people live in the new area. Now remember, when they opened up this new city, all the government people moved there. So the government folks basically built themselves a city. Hey, we get our pick of the houses, and we can come in, and
it'll be great.
We'll have all these businesses popping up around us, and everything's going to be great. Except the businesses haven't been popping up, and the people haven't been coming in. So the only businesses that are open are the ones that can cater to the government folks. And so the only people that are living in Kangbashi, according to this Times piece, are basically the government people, their families, and the people that the few souls that are catering to them, like the woman that's running the hotel,
right,
where government people stay. During a recent visit, however, a reporter driving around for hours with two real estate brokers saw only a handful of residents in the housing developments. Analysts estimate there could be as many as a dozen other Chinese cities, just like Ordos, with sprawling ghost town annexes.
A dozen of them.
In the southern city of Kunming, for example, a nearly 40-square-mile area called Qinggong has raised alarms because of similarly deserted roads, high-rises, and government offices. And in Tianjin, in the northeast, the city spent lavishly on a huge district festooned with golf courses, hot springs, and thousands of villas, still empty 5 years after completion.
Crazy.
What kind of money are they pouring into maintaining all of this property that essentially has no one there?
Stolen.
Right. And how much of it? I have no clue.
They also print all a lot of money.
It might seem all mere nouveau riche folly if it were not for China's goal of moving hundreds of millions of rural residents to big cities over the next decade in the hope of creating a large middle class. See, this is the problem with central planners, is they think they can just create things.
You're gonna build middle class houses for people, and suddenly they're going to be middle class.
It doesn't work that way.
No, they got middle class by foregoing things as lower class, mm-hmm. working hard.
Mm-hmm. And saving.
Yeah.
And being able to open their own businesses and create new wealth. You don't just create the trappings of a middle class life and plug people into it. That's like the most bizarre backwards top-down central planning that you can imagine. And this is the reality of what it results in. Ghost cities. The pictures of these, the pictures. I mean, we looked at them.
It looks great, except there's no people.
Right. It is so vast and so huge, this city, and it's like looking at Pyongyang, except much more beautiful. I mean, it's if you've ever seen the pictures of Pyongyang, which is the capital city of North Korea, it's the only place where they actually have buildings and lights. You look at the pictures of the streets there, and they're completely deserted. Now, in Pyongyang's case, it's because no one can afford a car, except for the government, the military and the government people. And so that's why there's no one on the streets there. They can't afford a car, and they certainly can't afford to live in Pyongyang, or they're maybe might not even be allowed to live in Pyongyang. So it's that kind of level of desolation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing preventing people from living in this city. They could move into the city if they wanted to. Indeed, people are apparently buying the houses there. I think it'll touch on that here in a moment, which is even more bizarre as to why someone would invest in this.
Well, you forget, Ian, they're having a housing boom there.
Yeah.
So these people are buying, they're just not moving.
Right.
This happened in Sarasota, Florida. How many people in Sarasota did you know that had more than one house? I certainly did.
Yeah, but the people I knew that had more than one house were renting their houses. There were people there that would rent them.
When they could.
Well, there's more coming up here about Ordos.
They flip condos and all kinds of stuff, too.
A little bit more here to come on this here. And if you look for Ordos, China, you find these pictures. They're just weird. Like every now and then there's a picture of some government worker cleaning a street. And that's about it. 1-800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. This is Free Talk Live.
Attention, all active duty members and veterans of the U.S. military. Your proud service to your country entitles you with the right to participate in special VA loan programs with benefits not available to the general public, like the ability to purchase a new home with no down payment or mortgage insurance, or refi with cash out up to 100% of your present home equity with less strict credit criteria. You are entitled to these benefits. Review them online at varadio.com.
This is Tim Lewis from iFreedom Direct and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I want you to know that as a member or veteran of the United States military, you've earned special rights and privileges. On your feet! And get the details at varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, certain restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com. VARadio.com.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want by dialing in toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. You can, again, bring up whatever's on your mind tonight. It's Ian with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark. And we invite you to our website over at freetalklive.com. You will find the features there are free. We've got the webcam. You can watch, you can listen, you can chat with other Free Talk Live listeners all on the house. It's all there for you at cam.freetalklive.com. So go over there and watch and listen and get interactive. Cam.freetalklive.com. The cam brought to you by Memory Dealers.
Memory Dealers is your trusted source for all your networking and telecom accessory needs. Not only do they offer the world's largest selection of discounted optical transceivers at up to 99% off of list price, but they also offer great prices and services on used networking equipment such as Cisco routers and switches. All their stuff's in stock, ready to ship via overnight delivery. It's memorydealers.com.
So it's been sitting in the desert, basically, in China, for 4 years now. Ordos, China. And it is a huge city, 15 square miles, I believe it said here in this piece at the New York Times, of almost fully completed construction. Much of the city has been constructed. There are apartment buildings. There are government buildings. There are entertainment centers. There are office buildings. I mean, this is a city. But no one lives there.
It's really weird.
Except for a few people.
Yeah.
Government officials and people to serve them, right?
Right. So what happened is Ordos, China already exists. It's a city of 1.5 million. The government bureaucrats there got themselves the idea to team up with a bunch of people with a whole bunch of money to spend, plus taxpayer dollars, and create essentially a new version, Neo-Ordos, almost. Mm-hmm. About 15 miles away from, excuse me, it's a 12 square mile city. It's 15 miles from the original city. And they created this project with at least $1 billion taxpayer dollars and who knows how much private investment. And they built this city believing that they could create the middle class, that they could just create the trappings of a middle class lifestyle of this city with and it would fill in with the people that should be there, but it hasn't panned out that way. In fact, the only people living there, as you pointed out, Wayne, are the actual government folks that moved from the other city because now they have a whole brand new city to themselves. Basically.
You know, if you would have gone in and said this was going to happen ahead of time, and you know anybody who understands economics, real economics, would have sold them that, they would have just called you a negative Nancy. You know, oh, yeah, whatever.
Well, who wouldn't want to live in such a beautiful new city? Apparently, nobody. So there's more to the story here. Cranes are everywhere. Even though it has been sitting virtually empty for years now,
years.
They're still constructing. There's still new building going on here. People haven't thrown in the towel and said, screw this, because people are still actually buying these apartments or the condos.
A similar thing happened in Dubai, by the way.
What do you mean?
Well, the city of Dubai is in the United Arab Emirates, and the same thing. They put all this money into this place. It's like Disneyland on steroids to live in, and the whole thing collapsed, and a lot of people had to move out of there, and a lot of the people who were promised work to build this thing became indentured servants. A lot of them are in jail because they got into debt. They bought property there, and then they couldn't pay it back when the thing collapsed, and they're in jail awaiting release. Some of them were in jail for a year or two because they couldn't pay their debts. They couldn't pay their mortgage anymore.
Well, Dubai may be messed up, but at least in Dubai, they don't have taxes, do they?
I don't think so, but, you know...
And there are people that live in Dubai. Like, it's an actual city.
Yes, but it's emptying. It's been emptying very quickly now.
Because I have heard that, too, that there's just a lot of debt. And I guess you can go to prison for debt over there, so obviously
you can go to
leave.
Prison for a gram of marijuana or
it's
less.
A different situation.
Or having sex with someone you're not married to?
China's national government has struggled to rein in soaring property prices and stem the threat.
Why would anyone want to do that?
I don't know.
Stem the threat of inflation. Now, that is a mistaken phrase, isn't it? To stem the government can't stem the threat
right.
of inflation. It can either inflate or not. And that statement right there suggests the guy that wrote the article believes inflation is a rise in prices, right?
I guess that's all. I mean,
that's not what inflation
people
is.
Generally believe that.
That's not true. Inflation is an increase in the money supply. A rise in prices is a symptom of inflation. It tends to be what happens when the money supply increases because more dollars are chasing the same amount of goods. But nonetheless, even as ambitious local officials continue to draw up blueprints for new megacities, as we mentioned earlier, there may be a dozen cities like this across China where they've essentially created this city and no one's moving in. Patrick Shinovec, who teaches business at Tsinghua University in Beijing, says people are using real estate as an investment, as a place to store cash. They treat it like gold. They're stockpiling empty units. This is going on in cities of virtually every size. And real estate is not like gold, is it?
Well, it probably would be more like it if it wasn't for the fact that the government's involved so deeply. The gold doesn't tax the government doesn't tax you annually on your gold.
This is a good point. But also, gold is in higher demand in this case. Like
right
you know,
now,
there's a short supply of gold, and there's not really a short supply of real estate in this case.
Real estate's a lot like gold in that it's a commodity. Unfortunately, the government taxes that commodity, and you know that's a real problem.
Right, but if you create more real estate than there is demand for it in the marketplace, then you don't have much of a commodity anymore, right? I mean, it's not really worth anything if you build too much of it, whereas gold is much more restricted in its amount of supply.
It's more liquid, too, and there's no taxes on it. There's no upkeep costs on it unless you store it somewhere.
Here in Ordos, in northern China's sparsely populated Inner Mongolian region, there is little second-guessing. Cranes are everywhere as construction moves ahead on a $450 million financial district in Kambashi, a site that will feature six high-rise office towers. Property development here is so hot. Last year, housing sales in Ordos reached $2.4 billion, up from $100 million in 2004, according to the government. During that span, the average square foot price of commercial and residential property rose by 260% to $53 per square foot. Li Hong, governmental official, said during a recent tour of the city, this is a city of the future. We are going to build this...
All of them will be empty soon.
We are going to build this into a center of politics, culture, and technology. That is our dream. But the future has not yet arrived, despite his best efforts to persuade a visitor otherwise. A visitor. He said one afternoon, "You can see there's real energy here." Looking out onto the mile-square town commons, even though only a few dozen people, presumably government workers, could be seen on this vast square where the towering bronze sculptures honor the Mongolian warrior Genghis Khan. The vacant
Genghis Khan has a statue?
There's a statue to the northern troops here in Keene, New Hampshire. People love statues to killers. The vacant amenities surrounding the square included a theater, opera house, and an art museum. Only a few minutes earlier, Li Hong escorted a reporter through an empty 500,000-square-foot convention center and 12-story office tower that had dark hallways, locked doors, and just a few scattered souls. The media, who said this was a ghost town, came and took photographs at 6 or 7 in the evening, he said, noting that many government workers continue to commute from the old town because of the lack of stores and restaurants in the new area. See, if they'd just been there at noon and taken their photos, then it would have been a bustling mass of government bureaucrats running around. You know, they mentioned this convention center here, and again, that's from the New York Times. They mentioned this convention center, 500,000-square-foot convention center, and you can find examples of this here in the United States, where a city government will get it in their head that our city should have a convention center.
We could attract all this business.
In fact, I think the city of Keene is actually looking at doing this now.
Oh, boy.
And almost always, it's almost completely empty throughout most of the year, and it runs in the red. This is the convention center idea written on a city scale. It's Free Talk Live.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. also on super sale. Olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at herbalhealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at herbalhealer.com.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Still worrying? From GMO to organic food in jeopardy, divided by economic turmoil, there is still an answer. With just a little knowledge easily acquired, you will literally see food everywhere. Author Linda Runyon has these skills from having lived this way of life and created the tools so you could too. Wild food is economical, nutritious, freely available, abundant, and free for the taking. It is a skill that takes little time to learn, but stays with you for life. And now for a limited time, it's all on sale. It's called the Bye Bye Old Website Sale. Can you guess what's coming? Absolutely everything's on sale across the board, including our already discounted packages. And you know, the holidays are coming up fast. We don't know if we're going to have another sale this year. This was the only one in 2010 so far. We've been lucky to keep our prices the same since 2008, but who knows what the future will bring. So go to ofthefield.com now, or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and cross food off your to-do list.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Just dial in toll-free and take control of the airwaves at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, and we give you the features there totally free. So enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live brought to you by SACL CAI.
Yep, SACL CAI. If you've got a company that needs to try something new in the area of collections, SACL CAI does collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged off receivables. SACL's employees are trained in resolving issues for your customers and treating them with respect. They know that not only do you want to collect your money, but do you want to keep your clients too. SACL CAI, you can see their banner at freetalklive.com.
All right, our toll-free number here is 1-800-259-9231, and you can, of course, bring up anything. Government 2.0? I was looking for more information about this guy that put together the government is great, or excuse me, government is, wait, what
good.
Was it? No, it wasn't government is good, it was something else. Government is, like, really cool or something like that. They had this little counter protest at the this weekend's rally to restore
government
sanity.
Doesn't suck.
Government doesn't suck. That's what it was. It was just an amazing story about how government bureaucrats there in Washington, D.C. must be feeling some kind of pressure. They must be feeling a little bit of ostracism, perhaps, from within their friends, or maybe they're getting razzed a little too much about working for the government and being, you know, bureaucrats. And so they created this.
Getting paid way too much money.
Yeah. So they created this government doesn't suck rally to hold simultaneously with the Rally to Restore Sanity, which went on over the weekend, which I heard was a lot of fun, by the way.
Has sanity been restored?
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, did anybody really think it would be? No. In fact, when was sanity in Washington, D.C. in the first place? That's what I'd like to know. I don't think it ever was, because it's insane to use force against your peaceful neighbors. And that's what Washington, D.C. has always been based on. It's always been based on aggression, aggressive force being used against our peaceful neighbors. And that's wrong, and it's insane. So... that aside, I just thought it was interesting, this government, pro-government rally. Government is, what was it?
Government doesn't suck.
Government doesn't suck, right. The government doesn't suck rally. I was looking up the guy that was, or the organizer of that, that particular rally, because I wanted to see if there was more out there. I was trying to see if there was a follow-up piece regarding that, to see how successful it was or what went on with it, because I hadn't heard anything else about it since the original promotion of it. Brett from the School Sucks podcast actually shot me an email. We were emailing about something else, and he mentioned that he actually called this guy, the guy that runs the GovLoop website, govloop.com or .org, one or the other. It's a website that is essentially a social networking site for government employees, so at all levels, world government, federal government, state government, local government. If you're a government employee, you can have an account on this social networking website. And this is the guy that put together the Government Doesn't Suck protest.
Who doesn't work for the government any longer.
Correct. So he could put together his website and,
right.
you know,
and
make
actually
money
participate
off
in the free marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah. So apparently Brett from the School Sucks podcast at schoolsucksproject.com, for whatever reason, just decided to call this guy up.
I'm going to give this guy a ring.
Yeah, and I guess they spent a half an hour on the phone talking about, Brett was talking about the voluntary society. And I don't know, you know, how that went or how amicable the guy was to the ideas, but he spent a half an hour on the phone with him. That's a good sign, right?
Interesting, if nothing nothing else.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. And so kind of as I was digging around here looking for more information about this guy who created the GovLoop website, I came across Government 2.0. Which is, I guess, one of the ideas that he's out there promoting. And this is the story from the...
I'm all for Government 2.0. Let's try something new in this area.
The epic... something new besides aggressing against people?
Well, yeah, I think that would be a good place to start.
Somehow I doubt that's in the game plan here.
I understand. This is the problem with revamping the government. It's never you that gets to design it.
Joshua Phillip at the Epic Times reporting. In the days before the Obama administration, many government websites were terrible. The sites were difficult to navigate, were poorly designed, and were highly impersonal. As soon as President Obama took office, however, a change took place. The White House website received a makeover, and other branches soon followed. Now anyone can follow the U.S. Army on Twitter, watch State Department press conferences on YouTube. Boy, that's got
to
be
exciting. Well, you can get lied to by the Army on a daily basis.
Or keep up with the president's daily routine through the White House blog. This was the beginning of sweeping implementations that were discussed in politics for years, and the beginning of a trend that is saving millions of dollars for governments around the world through e-governance, or Government 2.0. The technology allowed governments to reach out to individuals directly, bringing an instantaneous two-way information flow that allows for instant feedback and new possibilities to solve pressing issues.
You people suck. Stop threatening me.
Hey, they're listening now. Now that they have
no,
Twitter, now they are listening. You can give them feedback and... Oh, well, you could always call them and write them for years, so now you can post a message on, you know, some website somewhere. And I don't know about you, but every government YouTube post I've ever seen always has the comments restricted. So I'm not sure. Maybe it was just me. Maybe I missed all the open commenting sections that they supposedly have. There was that thing that Obama did where he took questions online from people and was going to respond to the most popular ones. You remember that? Where the number one most popular question was, what about legalizing marijuana? And he basically kicked it back in everyone's face and said, yeah, screw you. I don't care about marijuana. The drug war will continue. The number one most popular, I mean, they're talking about this feedback here and that the government's listening. It's Government 2.0. Use the web now to communicate with them. They did. People use the web to let this person know and his administration know that this is the most important issue on the people that use the internet's minds. They want to know about drug reform. They want to know about ending the war on marijuana. And they basically said, yeah, screw you.
It's a 0.0 release. Be careful.
What did you say? 2.0 release?
It's a 0.0 release.
Oh, a 0.0. I don't understand. Is it like a beta reference or something?
Well, in software, a 0.0 release is usually very buggy because it's an all new product. And this to me sounds like Windows Vista.
So yeah, government 2.0, according to Strategy Labs CEO Peter Corbett, he says to me is very much about figuring out how to harness technology and citizens to figure out how to figure out problems faster. That's right, he repeated figure out that many times in one sentence. We can't go through this 2-year-long procurement cycle to build a way too expensive system where there are much more agile ways of going about it. Corbett was among the first to help spur interest in this trend. His organization, iStrategy Labs, created a project called Apps for Democracy for the Washington government. The project offered a little bit of fame, a little bit of fortune, to developers willing to create a computer and mobile applications to solve issues in the D.C. area. After 30 days, the contest resulted in 47 web, iPhone, and Facebook apps. A collection of programs valued at $2.3 million to the city cost only $50,000 in prizes. Those who initiated the project used publicity for the developments as the primary incentive. The project then drew the attention of the U.S. Army, which ran a similar contest that created more than 35 apps. These programmers should be ashamed of themselves.
Why is that?
They're working for the state.
Well, they don't look at it that way, Ian.
No, they want to get the money.
Well, they want the fame that comes with it, too.
In D.C., the resulting apps were developed based on what the developers thought the D.C. government would find useful, such as an application that shows the nearest metro station and a geo-positioning program that shows the user how dangerous neighborhoods are or that he or she is traveling in.
I don't think the government really wants you to know that their neighborhoods are dangerous.
I'll bet there's a web link in there to the Free Talk Live webcam.
Yeah, I bet it's not.
This is all about how we can harness the passion and talent of our citizens to solve our problems, said the central planner. He added, that might sound really simple, but typically a government will spend hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, building these things, and they don't have to spend anything on them. That's really what this is all about. And he may be right about that, and I guess it's not accurate to call him a central planner. Maybe he wants to be one, but he's like somebody who's trying to help the government from the outside, basically. The projects proved a theory through Government 2.0, pressing issues could be solved without having to spend millions of dollars and wait for 2 or more years for products to be completed. And actually, if you take a look at the government and their internet divisions and their various bureaucracies, it's pretty rare that you'll see projects getting completed. Like the FBI, for instance, I think last time I looked, was still trying to figure out email for, you know, like to get it.
They probably have figured out in the Obama administration, don't you think?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't either.
Some government bureaucracies seem to be better at it than others, but in general, these IT technology projects that they take on tend to switch out IT directors multiple times throughout the entire process because they get so frustrated with the hamstringing of the bureaucracy that they just throw up their hands and they say, screw this.
Walk out.
I'm out of here. And then the new guy's got to come in and figure out the mess and try to change things. Free Talk Live. Have you been thinking about starting a website? I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a worldwide leader for web hosting, and they make it easy to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and templates. Sign up at hostgator.freetalklive.com to receive your first month completely free. Whether you want a personal blog or a complete e-commerce business website, let the experts at hostgator.freetalklive.com host you.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Stouffer's, helping bring your family together with wholesome dinner options, even on the busiest of nights. Find dinner table ideas to bring your family together at letsfixdinner.com. To get kids involved in dinner time conversation, ask specific questions, not broad ones. Instead of what happened today at school, try what was the best thing that happened today. The more specific you are, the more they'll have to say. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
Special announcement for our Renaissance Charge customers. Have you ever wondered what it would take to make your car run on 100% electric power? What about making a motor into a generator? How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you money? Because you, our customers, asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Conference Workshop on November 13th and 14th at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but for the first time, you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Register now while there's still room left to participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy Tesla technology. Visit r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Before you purchase any water filters, you should know there's a superior American-made water filtration system available. This water filter's housing is made of high-quality stainless steel, and its filters outperform all others in the industry and are the only ones that exceed EPA standards. It's a gravity-fed water filtration system requiring no electricity or plumbing. It removes chlorine, chemicals, and dangerous biological pathogens, producing quality drinking water for less than 2 cents per gallon. Plus, its filters can be cleaned up to 200 times. What is it? It's the AquaRain. Owning an AquaRain means you own the best money can buy. Learn more and see other quality emergency preparedness products at myaquarain.com. Use the GCN code and you'll receive the book, Do-It-Yourself Emergency Preparedness, absolutely free. To order, visit myaquarain.com or call 800-585-5077. That's myaquarain.com or 800-585-5077.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves toll free. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. You can, again, bring up anything, even in these remaining moments. Tonight, it's Ian here.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
And join us online at freetalklive.com. You will find a lot of stuff there. A lot of features, all free. And those features include things like our news updates, listening options, and more. Go and enjoy over at freetalklive.com. And if you like the show, become an amplifier for as little as $3 a month. We will take that money in, reinvest it into the program, and get on more radio stations across the country, bringing more internet listeners on board and exposing new people to the ideas of freedom. Go and get on and get the perks like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, AMP-only forum, podcast, and more at amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com. Just a few more thoughts here about the government 2.0. It's going to change everything. We're going to upgrade our websites. You can comment. You can send us email.
That's so perfect.
Right. So instead of me leaving a voice message that will be ignored, now I can spend more time and more energy typing to you. You know, and the idea that you're going to take a group of people that have a monopoly, that have no incentive, that are not incentivized in the same manner that the marketplace will incentivize people to perform, and expect them to somehow just suddenly get efficient, it's not going to happen.
Lipstick on a pig, would that be an appropriate phrase for this? Because they're talking about all these cosmetic changes, right? I mean, it's true. Certainly some government websites look better now than they have in the past.
Oh.
I don't doubt that, you know, that they brought some whiz kids in and they actually got to work and made things better. Of course, a lot of web packages you just plug and play. They didn't have to probably likely program some of their things from scratch. But nonetheless, several government 2.0 initiatives, this is from theepictimes.com, followed not long after the revamp of the White House website and those things, including the publishing of the Open Government Directive.
I want to know where this transparency where thing is going to happen.
It's coming, Mark.
When the Senate's supposed to put it, the Congress is
just
supposed to put
just give them 10 years.
Yeah, to put its bills online for
the bills
3 days
online.
Or something.
You can look. You can read bills online. That's been up for a long time.
They had something that he was talking about precisely.
So they created the Open Government Directive and the creation of data.gov. More recently, the government launched challenge.gov that poses current issues within different government agencies and offers cash prizes for solutions. The information movement has also spurred better collaboration within the government, according to Steve Ressler, the president and founder of GovLoop. That's the guy that put together the pro-government rally. The United States is about a third of the way into a 10-year movement to bring government 2.0 into the mainstream of all government agencies and departments. GovLoop, created in 2008, is a social network for the government community, created with the intention to spur better cooperation and collaboration within the government. It's drawn more than 37,000 government employees. He says that, quote, there's a ton of potential for government 2.0 to make the government more effective and efficient. Potential isn't actually...
Yeah. Results.
Right. Ressler said via email, he added, individuals are starting to bring these concepts back to their agencies, and there are lots of pilot projects that are starting to become mainstream. So this is it. Adding a web element is the solution to making government more accountable, to making government more efficient, and to just generally making government better. Yay! Government 2.0!
It's just... Well, you know, I guess if we're going to have a government, I'd like to see it using computers.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't imagine that it's going to do anything else.
It's 2010, and now finally the government websites are getting out of the 1990s, right?
Yeah.
At least they can type, too.
Yeah, I can't say I have the same level of excitement here that Steve Ressler and his buddies do about the government becoming any different or in any significant fashion. I think it is a total lipstick on the pig thing. Just because the White House or the military or whatever have fancy websites doesn't mean that anything has changed on the inside of how these organizations operate. And it certainly doesn't mean the fundamental fact about what government is has changed. You may be able to make their websites look pretty. You may be able to have a little contest where people design new applications for their websites. But you have not changed the fact that this is an agency, an organization of human beings that uses force, aggressive force, against other human beings that have not harmed other people. And anytime you have a situation like that, regardless of what their web presence is, anytime you have a situation...
The mob.
Yeah. Right.
Websites.
That's absolutely right. Anytime you have that situation where human beings are using aggressive force against other human beings, you will have consequences from those acts of force, and those consequences will be damaging to everyone's freedom, to the economy in general, and it's not going to improve anything because government sucks. You know, he had this little rally that government doesn't suck. Government does suck. It sucks off the productive people, the people that are actually out there creating valuable products and services for people out there who actually want them.
You know, it's funny when people start to talk about how something doesn't suck and they feel the need to say that, it's usually because it does.
It's a desperate attempt, isn't it, Wayne? I mean, the
I'm not yelling at you, Ian.
Right. It's really just a sad statement on exactly how bad these government guys how they feel like they're being perceived by people. I think it's you know bad for them, but it's great for us. I think it's a validation that people do realize these government people are not necessary and that they are extraneous and that they are just literally just leeching off of people and they're not providing anything of value. Because if they were really providing something of value, they could do it in the marketplace like the rest of us do.
We have an increasing amount of number of people who are basically living off the system. And so we have an increasing number of people consuming wealth, a decreasing number of people creating wealth.
That's not good for
you. What does that lead to?
Not good. Let's go to the phones, to the fun. Dylan is in, Arizona, I believe, on the amp lines. Hello, Dylan.
Yeah, that's right. Hey. I just wanted to mention the other night you were talking to Michelle, and she suggested that polygamy was legal in Utah, and it's not. It hasn't been since Utah became a state. In fact, that was a condition of statehood that the church fathers come down with this edict that basically said polygamy was no longer tolerated by the church.
Yeah, that thing we said about polygamy, yeah, we're changing our mind.
But does that include where you government marriage? So in other words, I understand there are still polygamists there, but they just don't officially get government marriage, correct?
Well, yes, people do live that way, and to some extent it's tolerated. It really depends on the community that you're in, but officially it's illegal, and there have been people who've been investigated and prosecuted for it.
I think that's sad.
How would they prosecute them if they weren't married?
They have statutes for it.
Like if you get a marriage within your church, for instance. I mean, if you just get married without a government license, that would be, if you get married to more than one person, that would be illegal.
Yeah, I'm sure it has to do with occupancy or adultery laws or fathering other children, you know, with women, not your spouse, that kind of stuff.
There's a new,
they have ways of doing it. But, you know, the thing is that's interesting to me is, though I'm an apostate Mormon and I've had nothing to do with the church since I was 12.
What kind of Mormon?
Apostate.
Apostate Mormon? What is that?
That means I've rejected the faith.
But you're still a Mormon.
No, I'm...
Does that mean I'm an apostate Christian? Because I one time was a Christian? I mean, it seems strange to say that you are something that you're not.
Well, listen to my story. Here's why. I'm directly descended from the third president and prophet of the Mormon Church. And I owe my existence to some extent to polygamy because his son left the state of Utah when the fathers came down with that edict so that he could pursue his lifestyle. He had something like 13 wives. And one of the daughters that was the product of one of those marriages was my grandmother. So they went down to the Mormon colonies. That's what they call them now. There are these Mormon communities down in Mexico where some of these polygamists live. It's part of the sort of network of these communities that stretch from Mexico all the way up to Canada, where these people sort of live underground in the old way, the fundamentalist
polygamist
way. Yeah, the FLDS. Yeah, so it's just a subject that's sort of close to my heart, and I guess I feel like I'm sort of a Mormon in the way that lots of Jews feel they're still Jews, even though they don't practice the faith.
I totally agree that you know, in using this terminology, you describe what you have been, and it gives people a reference. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
Now, what was the justification for having multiple wives?
Oh, you know, it's just something that came down from the prophet himself. I imagine he liked the idea, and so suddenly it was the word of God.
It seems incredibly difficult to me. I thank you for the call tonight, Dylan. Appreciate hearing from you. We are out of time. It's been Ian here.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Have you ever wished that you could buy, sell, and trade in silver in your community? Del Valle Silver has a no-cost, turnkey setup for you. You recruit 6 to 8 businesses in your area to accept Del Valle Silver rounds as barter currency, and your wish is granted. You get paid, and you promote the use of real money. This isn't like so many other silver currency setups where it's really just a system to sell high-priced rounds. It's a free market system based on Austrian economics. DelValleySilver.com. DelValleySilver.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237. 686-2237.